Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, David Snyder, CPA, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Q&A. We've got a really interesting show about the arts today. We'll be talking with local author Patrick Navel. He was on the show a few months ago, and I invited him to come back on the show when he publishes his new book. Well, it is published. It is called Ripper, and yep, it's about Jack the Ripper. We'll be talking about that because that still has a stranglehold, so to speak, on people, especially in the UK. That was a feature on CBS's Sunday Morning just a few weeks ago. Quite an interesting story. We'll be talking to Patrick about that as part of our local Professional Writers of Prescott series. Also on today's show, coming up after the bottom of the hour, local and state news and weather, we'll talk with Chuck Abels. I discovered him on Facebook several weeks ago, just startling photographic images he takes of this area. They really, really catch your eye. He's got a wonderful eye for this area. You remember what Ansel Adams did for the West Coast and the Southwest? He's kind of got that feel for our area here. So we will talk to Chuck Abels about the pictures he takes of Northern Arizona. Hey, if you don't yet have your reservations for tonight's exclusive third floor meet and greet and cash bar show with Red Molly on the third floor ballroom of the Elks Theater, that's tonight, you can still call the Prescott Elks Theater at 777-1370 or go online either to folksessions.com or prescottelkstheater.com for your tickets and the meet and greet and ballroom performance, third floor Elks Theater with Red Molly. The Diamondbacks are off tonight, but they'll open their 2019 home season tomorrow with a 4 o'clock start against the defending World Series champion Boston Red Sox at Chase Field. The pregame show you'll hear right here at 3:30 with the first pitch at 4:10. And because of that early start, no Let's Talk Sports show tomorrow on KQ&A. Hey, hats off to Diamondbacks outfielder Adam Jones, who stood up to a real ignoramus at Petco Park in San Diego yesterday. He called attention to this fan yelling profanity all the time, and he got the fan tossed out of the ballpark. Now, Jones went through this a few seasons back when he played for the Baltimore Orioles. They were at Fenway Park, and this Red Sox fan out near center field kept yelling not only profanity but racial taunts, and he got banned from Fenway Park, as he should have been. Obviously, the concession stand there had been selling way too much liquid idiot. On the brighter note, if you haven't yet got tickets for the Prescott High School productions of Footloose, don't miss it, playing this weekend, directed by Layla Tenney. You remember four of her cast members were with us just a few days ago, also at Yavapai College Performing Arts Center, starting this weekend for productions of Mary Poppins the Musical, directed by Nanette Hofer. She was also on the show earlier this week. Stay tuned, we'll be talking publishing and storytelling in Jack the Ripper with Patrick Navel coming up in Patrick Navel coming up in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Fee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Chalk it up, Prescott. It's time to get down on the ground and release your inner artist at West Yavapai Guidance Clinic's Foundation's 11th Annual Chalk It Up, April 13th and 14th in downtown Prescott. Free and fun for all ages. It's a family fun weekend in the National Bank of Arizona lot on the corner of Sheldon and Montezuma. There'll be live music, art, and of course, plenty of chalk. Learn how you can make a difference for the 11th Annual Chalk It Up Prescott at PrescottChalkArt.com.
The new FN 509 midsize 9mm pistol is now part of FN's legendary concealed carry lineup, and it is a natural fit. With its smaller grip frame modeled after the battle-proven million-rounds-tested FN 509, the FN 509 midsize comes with two 15-round magazines and naturally improves concealability. Available at your local firearms dealer. FN, the world's most battle-proven firearms.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Arizona Coyotes hockey is live on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, KQA. Arizona Coyotes hockey is brought to you this season by Parshall Wood, Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling,
Brown Bag Burger,
Cowboy Country Antiques, and David Goldstein, Sherrick Insurance.
He'll shoot, he scores!
The Coyotes visit Las Vegas Golden Knights, live Thursday night at 7 on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM in Prescott and Chino Valley, at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQA.
It's tax time. Stop getting your taxes done where you buy your groceries. I am David A. Snyder, CPA, and I will install confidence in the quality and security of your taxes. On April 18th, those pop-up cubicles will be gone, but I will be there. With my ex-military tax-oriented mindset and 20 years of experience, I will guide you through current and past IRS issues. Step away from the phone apps and into my office. Call me at 445-0104, extension 9, or online at davidasnydercpa.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 208, and we all love talking about murder mysteries. What about those that are based on fact? Let me ask our local author, Patrick Neville. This is part of the Professional Writers of Prescott series. Patrick, as you know, we have these meetings the fourth Tuesday of every month. We always trade, you know, great stories about the writing process. What is it about the Jack the Ripper aura and mystery that keeps us intrigued all these years later?
Well, in my research, I discovered that while there have been hundreds of books and articles written on the subject, and there's been probably as many movies and TV shows done on it, no one's ever done a takeoff on a descendant of Jack the Ripper. And nothing has ever been written as to whether he had offspring, so I decided to take my story in from that perspective, in that direction. You know, what if Jack the Ripper had some sort of genetic deficiency or mental condition that caused him to become this killer or monster, and that deficiency was passed on to his offspring or his descendants? And who would that person be today? And where would they live, and what would they be like?
And that letter, I understand, is kept in a safe, correct?
Yes.
And what are some of the things in that letter?
Well, it's a letter from Jack the Ripper, the original Jack the Ripper, to his son. And he confesses as to what made him want to do the killings and the mutilations, what drove him to do that. He expresses some remorse, but he also says it was something that was totally beyond his control. He's basically asking for forgiveness from his son in that. He said it's a secret he could have never told his wife. So it took me a long time to write that letter. It took me over a week to write that letter. And what I had to do was I did a lot of research to find out what the speech patterns were like back then, what the manner of speaking was, and I wanted to try to duplicate that. But also I did a lot of research into the minds of sociopaths and psychopaths. Mm-hmm. And when I went to write that letter, I had to literally put myself in the shoes of Jack the Ripper, and it was a very, very dark place to be in. I would literally feel myself going down the tubes when I would write that. But I think the end result is what made it very realistic.
And what was the son's name?
What I had to do when I did this story, I had to go back and literally do a family tree. So I came up with a name of who I said, okay, let me create a name for who Jack the Ripper was. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to set my story in real time today in mm-hmm. Seattle. So I literally established a family tree, and I said, okay, here's the original Jack the Ripper. How old would he have been theoretically when he had kids? children, how old would they have been? So I literally had to go back through from 1888 to the present, and it took me five generations to get to the current person, whose name is Christian Somerville. He's the current descendant of Jack the Ripper.
I do the movie reviews for KQ&A Radio here, and I'm seeing all sorts of parallels here with movies. I'm seeing, because you move it up time-wise into the West Coast, I'm seeing the parallel with the movie Time After Time. I'm also seeing a parallel here with the old 1950s film The Bad Seed, mm-hmm. where the mass murderer's genes might have been passed through one generation to the little girl with the pigtails who is so sweet and kind, mm-hmm. but may have an evil, cell in that brain, killing the schoolmate. What kinds of influences besides your research were you drawing on for this? Were you drawing on fictional characters too to create this character?
Somewhat. Mm-hmm. What I did was, and there's a strong influence. People have said, who is Christian Somerville based on, or what kind of character is he like? And what I've described is that you could find that type of character in some of Stephen King's novels, mm-hmm. and some of Jay Conrath's novels. He had that kind of sick personality that you would find in one of those. But I did a tremendous amount of research, like I say, into different serial killers. You mentioned the BTK killer earlier, mm-hmm. The Golden State killer they just discovered.
And
there was the Green River killer. I went through and I read article after article on all those guys, and I kept coming up with a common element. They're sick. They have no compassion. They don't think anything more of taking a life than you would of swatting a fly.
Sure.
And they were just cold-blooded killers. So I had a ton of research I did on those type of people, and that's what influenced me.
And, another movie reference comes to mind because you put yourself in the shoes of the killer, right?
Yes.
There was a terrific movie with William Peterson based on the Thomas Harris novel, originally called Red Dragon. Michael Mann made a movie called Manhunter, mm-hmm. where William Peterson, as a detective, put himself in the killer's shoes, and it also almost drove him mad,
mm-hmm.
because you put yourself into dark places that only the truly sick people can go to, and it tests you, doesn't it?
What it's analogous to what you hear about how actors get so immersed in the roles they're playing that they actually become those characters.
Yeah, the method people especially.
Yeah, yeah. And when I was writing the scenes with Christian Somerville, the bad guy in here, the really gruesome scenes, I would have to take Patrick Neville and set him on a shelf somewhere. And then psych up, and sometimes mm-hmm. it would take hours to psych up and get to that mindset of becoming Christian Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I had to do to get there, because it was just a dark place.
Now, you also brought back Jimmy Breen, the protagonist from your last two books.
Yeah.
Those were titled Pipeline and Jihad, mm-hmm. for this story. Now, will Breen continue to be a main character in future books?
Yes. Yeah, I've had real good feedback on the Jimmy Breen character. People like him. They want to hear more stories about him. And he's not your Jack Reacher or Mitch Rapp kind of a guy. He doesn't come in, with guns blazing or fists flying and saves the day. He's a down-to-earth guy. He has a good sense of humor. He's the kind of guy you would probably like to sit around a campfire, have a few beers with, and shoot the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Just an everyday guy.
In the way you're writing the Ripper book, it kind of reminds me when I was, I believe in the seventh grade, my school had a subscription to Arrow Books and Tab Book Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And my most exciting day of every month was when the clerk would walk in the door with the boxes of the books I had bought. And one of them I bought was Truman Capote's In Cold Blood, which is kind of a strange book for a seventh grader to buy.
Yeah.
But I remember my teacher described that book as a nonfiction novel, which sounds like a contradiction in terms. But I said, what do you mean nonfiction novel? And she said, because one of the reasons that Capote's book took off so well was because he was talking about two executed murderers who couldn't speak for themselves, but he was putting words in their mouths based upon the research he had done and what they might have said in those situations. And that's where the novel part of it comes, based upon the nonfiction, what he discovered as fact.
I love that book. I love the movie that was based on it. And it was chilling.
Yeah.
It was very chilling.
Yeah.
He did a tremendous job on that.
And what's funny about that too, Patrick, is when they were making that movie in the town where the Clutter murders occurred, when they were making that movie, the actors they cast in the roles of Dick Hickok and Perry Smith, they cast Scott Wilson and Robert Blake,
mm-hmm.
who looked so much like the original killers, people were calling the sheriff saying, my God, they got out.
Yeah.
They hadn't realized they'd been executed.
I remember that.
Yeah, isn't
that
something?
I remember hearing
Life
that.
Magazine did a great big cover story on it, and I just soaked that stuff up.
Yeah.
And what a great story that was.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When you started this book, did you have an outline for it? I mean, how did you start the whole thing going?
Well, no, I didn't have an outline. Like I say, I knew I wanted to do it on a descendant of Jack the Ripper. I wanted it set in real time today.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it set in Seattle. I figured that with that gloomy kind of atmosphere, it would add to the story. So I knew how I wanted it to start. I knew how I wanted it to end, and then I had a big gap in between that I had to bridge. But it was kind of like looking through fog. I could see just a little bit of an image out there, and I had to keep getting closer and closer and waving that fog away. And then finally I could see the image. It came clear where I wanted to go with it. But it took a while, yeah.
And I always ask every author I talk to this question. At some point in writing this book, did you find the characters and the plot lines converging and writing themselves, and you had to keep up?
Yeah, absolutely. There was no doubt about that.
It's like a fever. Every writer who I ask, they tell me, you must be a writer yourself, because only a writer could understand that phenomenon.
Yeah, and you nailed it right on the head.
It happens, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It really does. We are talking with Patrick Neville about his great new book, Ripper. More coming up with Patrick in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at KQ&A.com. Don't go away.
Get connected to your medical records with a YRMC Care Connect account. YRMC Care Connect gives you one-stop, secure access to your YRMC medical records on your smartphone, tablet, laptop, or desktop computer, anywhere you have an internet connection. If you've received care from YRMC or one of its many organizations, including YRMC Physician Care, you can establish an account. It's easy and it's free of charge. Quick and easy access to your medical records is important for anyone, including people with chronic conditions, parents of young children, frequent travelers, and folks who find themselves in a medical emergency. Learn more at YRMCCareConnect.org. Tell your YRMC healthcare provider that you want to establish an account, or contact YRMC's Health Information Management Department.
Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, have a lot of fun. Country Bank's Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The Bolleri Professional Building, home to Prescott's premier high-tech business suites, located right in the heart of downtown Prescott. Bolleri Business Suites feature high-speed internet, covered parking, and a climate-controlled environment designed for business, medical, legal, and most any general office purpose. New one-year leases available with one additional month free. Call 445-7191 or go to BolleriProfessionalBuilding.com for more information. The Bolleri Professional Building, Prescott's business address.
Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball is live on KQ&A. Diamondbacks Baseball brought to you by Moyers Heating and Cooling, Owls Auto Body, The Prescott Brewing Company, Wallach and Volk, Yavapai Block, Prescott True Value, Country Bank, Home Furnishings Direct, Cable One, AMCO, Heritage Memory Mortuary, Barrett Propane, Bucky's and Yavapai Casinos, and Grand Canyon Financial. The D-backs host the Boston Red Sox Friday at 4 on AM 1130, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. KQ&A.
Take me out to the ball game.
Prescott Living Magazine, the voice of the community. The spring 2019 issue is now available. Pick up your copy today and check out the annual Home and Garden section and an interview with Pam Jones and David Hess. Prescott Living is pleased to announce plans for an inaugural hardcover showcase special edition coming late summer. To find out more about the new edition and the annual photography contest, like them on Facebook at facebook.com/Prescott Living Magazine or visit PrescottLivingMag.com. It's about local. Prescott Living Magazine.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live with at 2:21 with Patrick Neville, part of our Professional Writers of Prescott series. Patrick, since this story, Ripper, is a bit different from your last two crime novels, how would you compare the bad guy in this?
Well, the bad guy in this is he's sick. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. This guy is just sick. Now, he's got the world by the tail. He's a commercial banker, handsome, single. He's got a ton of money. He's got everything that most people could want. But he's got this sick side to him. It is a takeoff from my previous ones in that I had to do tremendous research to get into the mindset of what somebody this sick would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't have to do that in the other ones.
And he seems to have a pretty good life going, right?
He's got a great life going, yeah.
It sounds like something out of American Psycho.
Lives in a high-rise condo up in Seattle overlooking the bay. I mean, he's got it all.
You know, you and I are about from the same generation, about the same age. I can recall as a little kid, first hearing, because we used to get Life magazine every week or every month, and I can remember the story of Richard Speck. Mm-hmm. And how horrifying that was. Mm-hmm. And just a year or two later, Charles Whitman climbing the University of Texas tower with a high-powered rifle. Yeah. And then, of course, the Martin Luther King assassination, which was 51 years ago today. And then, of course, the Manson murders and stuff. And now we get massacres seemingly every couple of weeks. Does it make any more sense now than it did then?
You know, I've thought about that a lot, and there was the shock factor back then because those are things that you just didn't normally hear about.
Yeah.
What I hate seeing anymore, and I think this is the way it's going, people are getting they're getting immune to it.
Yeah.
It's because it happens so often. Turn on the TV every morning. There's been a shooting down in Phoenix overnight, and it's a lot of them involve police officers.
Yeah.
People, they look at it anymore, and it doesn't have the impact on them it once did. So these mass murders and things like that, they're horrendous, but people just don't seem to I don't want to say they don't care as much, but it doesn't seem to impact them as much as it once did.
Did you see what the authorities did in New Zealand with the terrible massacre they had there a few weeks ago? They refuse to show his face.
Yes.
They're not letting him be a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because there are people who, they do these Me Too things, you know. It's like copycat crimes.
Yeah.
When they see someone do this and they see the notoriety they get, because these people are losers. That might be the only impact they ever make on the world.
It's their one chance, their 15 minutes of glory.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
And you wonder how much, you know, that plays into it. And of course, you know, with social media these days, you know, it used to be, if you said something completely crazy to somebody, they look at you and go, what is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And you go back under your rock. You say something crazy now on social media, you might get 100 replies worldwide from other crazy people.
Absolutely.
And you think, hey, it's not just me. I guess I make sense.
Yeah.
And there's no telling where that goes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it kind of goes to the whole thing of there's leaders and there's followers, and it's like the Jonestown massacre.
Bingo.
How could one person convince that many people to take their lives? That one still just amazes me.
900 people.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And you can remember when that happened, too, because that was back in 78, and it all started when that congressman went down to investigate. Absolutely. And on the way out, they realized that's going to be the end of our movement, so they started gunning down people, you know, outside that little plane in the jungle. Then they came back and put the hemlock and the Kool-Aid, and 900 people died in the sun.
Just last night, they had a feature on the news of two survivors from that massacre.
No kidding.
And they were saying, it was a lady and a man, and they had both been shot, and they hid in the woods for several days. They said, how did you survive? So they were telling their story, but you could tell they were still in shock over the whole thing.
Yeah. Sure. And you just wonder how people can fall for a character like Jim Jones.
Yeah.
And he had been in San Francisco. He had been a respectable, I believe he had been on the city housing commission or something. And whew, just amazing. Well, let me ask you this, Patrick, where can people find Ripper?
You can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I've got a Facebook page under Patrick Neville that I post information on, and also have a website, patrickneville.com, where I post things on there.
And spell your name for our listeners.
The last name is Neville. That's N-A-V as in Victor, I-L-L-E. First name Patrick.
And I have to ask you a writer's question, a publisher's question. when you're putting this together, you were searching, I'm sure, for a publisher. Every writer has to do that.
Yes.
And when you're doing that, how many rejections? Now, did you publish this yourself, or did you go to the outside publishing company?
This was self-published.
Okay, self-published. Yes. So you saved yourself who knows how many rejection notices, right?
I've got one room wallpaper.
I was just going to say, because there was an author years ago who published a book consisting of nothing but rejection letters from publishers.
Yeah.
And I've been told by more than one successful writer that you have to develop a real thick skin.
Can't take rejection, you do something else.
You know, when I first went into sales a long time ago, they told me, you have to learn to take no 100 times a day before you get to yes.
Get that door slammed in your face.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can't do that, you'll never make it in this business.
Yeah.
And holy smokes, is that good advice.
Absolutely. Through the first five books I had, especially the first probably two or three, I just inundated publishers with letters, query letters, and I had all the books and magazines that told you how to do it.
Sure.
You know, realizing that the people that wrote those, they couldn't get a book published, so they wrote a book, How to Get a Book Published.
Yeah.
And, I got some nice rejections from different people. I mean, they were kind to put some words in there, and most of them were the form letters.
Yeah.
But like you say, if you can't handle it, get out. You know?
When I was in Los Angeles, I went into a bookstore, and I noticed the minute I walked in the door, there was a whole wall of nothing but books about Los Angeles. And I said, holy cow, I've never seen so many books about one town. Why is that? And the clerk told me, these are all books written by people who moved here to be screenwriters, and they couldn't make it as screenwriters, so they're writing books about Los Angeles. So, yeah. I said, well, welcome to the real world, right?
Yeah. And something else, too, is that, you know, you've got to be able to take criticism. One of the harshest criticisms I ever had on one of my books came from my brother, who I love dearly.
Yep.
And after he sent me a letter, he slammed me hard. He wouldn't talk to me for 3 months. I kept calling him, and when I finally made contact with him, he said, I thought you'd be mad, you wouldn't want to talk to me. I said, no, actually, I said, your comments helped improve the writing. So I said, no, I wasn't angry with you.
A fresh set of eyes goes a long way.
Oh, yes.
Well,
when
any writer who doesn't read or see the movie Sunset Boulevard owes it to themselves, because not every struggling writer will find a Norma Desmond.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And if they do, heaven help them.
Yeah.
So,
you bet.
Yeah. And tell us one more time how to find Ripper.
Yes, you can find Ripper. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
And that is Patrick Neville, part of the Professional Writers of Prescott series. Thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thanks
Stay
for
tuned.
Having me.
You bet. Stay tuned. It's time for local and state news and weather. And then we'll talk to Chuck Abels about his amazing photography around Prescott, Prescott Valley, and the Quad Cities. That's coming up today on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley. Valley in Cottonwood, streaming live at KQNA.com.
Hi, James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 162209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
You're ready to wash off the day, do a little laundry, and spruce up the kitchen. You turn on the faucet and no water? Pick up the phone and call me, Bo, at RED Plumbing. With the mineral content in the Quad City water, I see faucets slow to a trickle. Don't wait until that's all you have. We can get you the right water softener to fight mineral buildup before it's a problem. Call me, Bo, at 772-9296 at RED Plumbing. To schedule your free estimate, we'll show you a better way of living today with a new water softening system from RED Plumbing.
In the air. Time to shake out the rugs, open those windows. So much fun. At Made to Order, we love spring and spring cleaning. I'm April from Made to Order. Let us come in and take care of your high and low dusting, from your ceiling fans down to your baseboards and everything in between, so you can really enjoy spring. Schedule your free evaluation today by calling 899-8518 or visit us online at PrescottMadeToOrder.com.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions, and City, an equal opportunity employer. trulynolan.com.
At Kachina Animal Hospital, they know your pet is like family, and as with any family member, your pet deserves the finest possible health care. So at Kachina Animal Hospital, they've set their standards very high. They have a compassionate, friendly, and experienced support team, as well as highly qualified doctors and technicians to treat your dogs, cats, and pocket pets. For more information, or to schedule an appointment for your best pal, give them a call at 772-8225. That's 772-8225. Or online at KachinaAnimalHospital.com.
My legs don't feel heavy anymore.
The swelling is gone.
I'm not tired. I have so much more energy.
You can eliminate unhealthy varicose veins and their cause at Northern Arizona Vein Center. If varicose veins are limiting your lifestyle, many insurance companies, including Medicare, may cover new minimally invasive treatments. Hello, I'm Dr. Brian Skilperert, a board-certified surgeon with over 20 years of vascular surgical experience. Call 445-VEIN or log on to nazveincenter.com to schedule an appointment.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Thursday the 4th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Wallach and Volk. A man who used a hatchet and a knife to kill his sister-in-law and boyfriend in 2012 has been sentenced to death.
35-year-old Kenneth Wayne Thompson poured acid over the bodies before setting the couple's Prescott Valley house on fire. Thompson was convicted of the killings on February 20th. The Prescott jury announced a verdict of death shortly after noon. Yavapai County prosecutors argued Thompson carried out a deliberate plan, buying a gun and cell phone. He told his wife he was leaving their home in the Ozarks region of Missouri to go to Memphis to deal with a legal issue involving his parents' estate. He drove to Prescott Valley instead. I'm Gregory Scott reporting.
A partly cloudy and breezy high today near 65 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey Humboldt. Chilling overnight to a partly cloudy 38. A 10% chance of Friday and Saturday rain. 20% tomorrow night. And daytime weekend highs around 60. Warming Sunday to a sunny 73. Up to 78 Monday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, a mostly sunny, very breezy high near 75 today. 71 tomorrow and Saturday, with a 10% chance for Friday lunchtime rain, 20% Friday night and Saturday, cooling after bedtime to near 43, sunny highs near 83 Sunday, 88 Monday, with a big Wednesday cool down. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQ&A. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQ&A.com. And stay tuned. Q&A will continue after this.
Prescott Center for the Arts is having its third annual Spring Gala on April 6th. This is a gala like no other. PCA is entertainment. Don't miss the variety show of the season with local talent, free wine pour, auctions, and much more. Tickets are only $75 and support youth art scholarships and innovative programming. Your support keeps community art alive. Tickets are available at pca-az.net or by calling the box office 445-3286. Spring into spring with fun and joy.
Are you a denture wearer? Do you have problems eating, speaking, or just plain tired of your existing dentures? How about a solution for you to take control, to eat, speak, and smile again with confidence? At Bradshaw Family Dental, we have the technology and experience to get you back to enjoying life. Give us a call for a free consultation, 775-9495 in Prescott Valley, or 237-1305 in Chino Valley, or online at BradshawFamilyDental.com. I'm Dr. Frosto, and I look forward to meeting you.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hello, this is Evan from Murphy's Restaurant. We've been a favorite destination of locals and visitors for over 30 years. In our charming, landmark, historic building, we serve downtown Prescott's freshest seafood, juiciest prime rib, and fresh baked bread from our in-house bakery. Choose us for that private lunch meeting, special occasion dinner, happy hour after work, and Sunday champagne brunch. Make reservations today for Murphy's, an establishment of good taste. View our menus, murphysprescott.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 2:37, and keeping with the arts theme of today's show, we have Chuck Abels. He does some phenomenal photography that we see around town, especially if you look at Chuck's Facebook posts. Some of these photographs are just amazing. Chuck, I have some copies of the pictures that I'm looking at right here. And that first one you describe here, you say, the hike down Glassford Hill Saturday morning allowed me to pause and think about all that's going on in our neck of the woods. Since the crash and burning of the housing boom a few years back, it appears to have resurrected in a fervor pitch to get developments built quickly before the next crash. And though I'm not fond of seeing tamed, manicured, well-groomed landscape disappearing under the blades of bulldozers, I do wonder and am concerned about what kind of community are we becoming and how will we support this growth of humanity with jobs, schools, resources, and still maintain the wholesome quality of life. And your photograph puts it all in perspective. How did you compose that beautiful shot?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me here, mm-hmm. Jay. And, well, it's a good thought. It's a composition of three panels that I stitched together to create a panoramic. And what caught my attention as I was hiking down Glassford Hill was the view of San Francisco Peaks.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then in the foreground, you have the development. I've been here for many years. As a matter of fact, I was a Prescott graduate of class of 1976.
Oh, you've seen the changes, haven't you?
I have, but when I was growing up, I was actually living in Blue Hills near Dewey, Humboldt, and had to be bused into Prescott at that time. We didn't have a high school in Prescott Valley like we have now, junior mm-hmm. high. So I've seen a lot. However, in all fairness, 14 years I didn't see. I was in the Marine Corps for 14 years.
Okay. Where'd you go in the Marine Corps?
Well... 3 days after graduating high school, I landed in boot camp, and they were yelling at me for no reason other than I showed up.
Well, you were in boot camp. They're supposed to yell at you. Where was boot camp?
San Diego.
Okay.
San Diego, California. And then my first stint was Pendleton, ADAC, Alaska. I was stationed in Marine Barracks, ADAC, 29 Palms, Okinawa, Korea. Mm-hmm. Got out and then finished the rest of my stint in the Marine Corps Reserve and then retired in 1999 mm-hmm. Marine Corps Reserves.
As you know from being at Pendleton, because I lived in San Diego for 7 years, the amazing thing I found about Pendleton is that being in the Oceanside area, no matter what part of the world you're preparing for, you can pretty much find it within a few miles there, can't you?
You can.
Ocean, beach, desert, mountains, it's all right there, isn't it?
And I have to say I'm kind of partial. I've been stationed in Camp Lejeune and on the East Coast, mm-hmm. But I'm actually partial to the West Coast because I'm used to seeing the sunset over the ocean.
Isn't it something in the green flash as it,
yep.
it goes? Yeah,
if you're lucky to catch it.
If you're lucky to catch it.
The sunsets are great for photography as it sets in the West. Never got used to the East.
Well, you know what? That's a good point, because when I was a kid growing up, my all-time favorite TV series was The Fugitive with David Janssen. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that show caught me was even though it was always filmed, always within 50 miles of downtown L.A., Every week, he was in a different city in a different state. And that's what California, for all of its flaws, can do for you, because it can adopt almost any persona for any region of North America, because it is so different. I would imagine for a photographer, that would be like the biggest lab in the world, wouldn't it?
It is. It is. And what's interesting is when I was stationed in Pendleton, and as a matter of fact in the Marine Corps, the camera that I used to use, for those that remember film, was the old, I had an Argus 110 Palmatic, because it was a lot easier to carry in your cargo pocket.
Well, sure, yeah.
And it wasn't actually until my oldest son had joined the Marine Corps, and before he went to boot camp, we had went camping, and for whatever reason, started to develop the interest back into photography, and at mm-hmm. that time, digitals had been out now. And it just, since, we'll say 2002, it had evolved into what we see, what I have here today, or what I do here today.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I do, I do remember the, Argus 110. They don't take great sunset shots, but they're okay, you know, and then to have it develop mm-hmm. by somebody else.
Yeah, sure. Well, also on your Facebook page, I saw another beautiful panoramic shot with the blue sky and the fluffy white clouds. It says, yesterday, Sally and I joined some friends for a wonderful hike on the Bear Mountain Trail in the Secret Mountain Wilderness near Sedona. And if you're into strenuous, heart-thumping, hard-breathing, struggling over a path of rocks almost the entire way to the top, this hike is for you. But more importantly, if you love the view from near the top of Bear Mountain and all the red country around Sedona, the pain is well worth it. Thank you, Mark and family, for the wonderful hike, and your picture is worth 1,000 words right there.
Thank you. That was Mark's a friend that I work with. He and his family had invited us up for this hike, and this matter of fact, this past Sunday. And the higher up you get, the more gorgeous the view is. And mm-hmm. again, this is another one of those shots where I've taken a panel of three shots to stitch together in order to create the panoramic shot, as it were. And this is one of those situations where no matter where you were on the hike, you had an awesome view to take a shot at.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that was a lucky shot. And he's a good photographer as
yeah.
well.
Here you're talking about panoramas, and I'm thinking, being the movie critic for the movies for the radio station, about the old Panavision, mm-hmm. how they would use essentially three movie screens and create one moving picture out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, is it possible for you to watch a movie and not play cinematographer while you're watching it?
I can honestly say when I watch a movie, I tone it all down and just appreciate the movie.
You can just be a fan?
I can be a fan.
Really?
Yeah.
See, there's one thing I've always wondered about watching a movie, and for that matter, commercials and TV shows. Why are the streets and sidewalks always wet? Is that a photographer's decision?
You know, that's a good point. I forgot who I talked to.
Is it because it reflects light?
I think it's the Hollywood effect, and there's nothing like taking a shot of a sidewalk or pavement with after a rain to get the reflection of the light at night, early morning. It adds an ambiance of realism.
A little bit of ominous
yes,
stuff to it too,
but yet beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially when it's still cloudy.
Sure.
I know I've taken shots like that when the circumstances would, you leave work and it's raining and it's like, oh, I know someplace I can go to try to get that shot. It's just, mm-hmm. it's another portion of, there's so many genres of photography. I haven't yet found the one I like the best. Street photography, especially fog, you know, if you can get a fog in there. I especially love shooting landscape out here when there is fog. It's just, mm-hmm. it's another element that you don't see too often in Arizona, in this neck of the woods. And so whenever I can grab a shot like that for a picture and tell the story, it really makes it all worthwhile. It just shows a side of, in my opinion, it just shows a side of Prescott that most people may not see.
Mm-hmm.
And anything I do, I try to create that. If something grabs, that's why I tell people, you know, I shoot what grabs me.
There you go.
Lighting doesn't matter. I know it's important. But yet it doesn't, because if it grabs me, then it must be taken. Yeah. I have to do it.
About a month and a half ago, we had a 26-inch snowfall. Did that make you want to go out and say, oh, my gosh, I have to capture this?
Yeah. Yes, it did.
And but isn't it amazing, not just the visual, but when you get a snowfall like that, how quiet everything is?
Yes, it is. It's matter of fact, I did go out. The streets weren't even cleared off, and it was I didn't even get cabin fever all that long, and I had to get out. It didn't last long. I had to go.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, it's funny. I did happen to take a shot of snow of Prescott Valley Town Hall, and it was one of those shots that just happened to fall in because it was so snowy. They were trying to clear the streets. I tried to stay out of their way. I had to keep all of that in mind and calm, you know. And I found a spot and took a picture of a wonderful fence, snow, and the town hall with my digital camera. And then I couldn't get enough of that. I had to pull out my medium format camera, SLR, to shoot 120 film. To get the same thing with Glassford Hill in the background. So, yeah, anything like that that's out of the norm.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned, of course, movies a couple times. You're familiar, I'm sure, with the name Stanley Kubrick, the famous movie director. I didn't realize this till I went to see his exhibit at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. They had a separate room for each of the movies he's made. I didn't realize that before he became a director, he was a photographer for Look magazine, and he had invented several of the cameras that he used in that job, and they had those cameras, you know, on display there. Tell me about what you look for in terms of a camera and the lens before you go out on a project.
Well, it's funny you ask, because it just so happens I have my truck kit with me.
Ah, nice. You came prepared.
Yeah, no, this is my truck kit. I take this with me every day, you know, when I go to work. So that way I got it. And it's funny you mentioned it because just as I was leaving work and I worked near the airport, there was a Marine Osprey there. And it was like, I got this thing to go to, but yet there's this Osprey. Okay. I'm going to shoot the Osprey.
And it's not going to be there long, is it?
It ain't going to be there long. Nope. It was actually in the process of taking off. I did it for several reasons. One, you don't see too many Ospreys land in Prescott. Secondly, and it goes back to I have two sons of four kids, and I have a stepdaughter. They're all a lot smarter than I am. They're doing quite well, but my two boys are both in the Marine Corps. My eldest is a captain and an Osprey pilot.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest is a sergeant in artillery. So when I saw this Osprey, there was like, what can I do to get the shot? And there is a priority here.
Yeah.
So I was grabbing my camera out of my truck kit. But generally, very rarely, it's like this Sunday, there's a motorcycle race going on up at Camp Wood area. I'm talking to a friend. He's participating in it. And I already know in my mind what camera I'm going to take. And generally, the lens, as an example, the lens, I'm taking my best camera, my Canon, and the lens that I'm going to use, the focal length is 18 to 135. That's a great medium range lens for me for this particular shot. If I want to get landscape, I could go to the 18 millimeter, zoom it in, or zoom it out, and get a close up of a biker riding right by me. And then, of course, I'm going to take a longer zoom just in case I really want to get up close to get the face shot of the biker, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't really say what makes me decide what cameras I'm going to take, really.
A lot of it's just a feel for the situation?
Right. A lot of it's a feel. I mean, there are times I'll just go out with my black and white camera and bring the digital as a backup because that's another thing I like to do is take black and white film and develop it. Believe it or not, using instant coffee with a recipe called Caffeinol.
Really?
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I used to watch the old Roger Ebert, Gene Siskel film at our review show at the movies. And they did a special show one day on black and white movies. And there's urban legend that the 1940s and 50s black and white movies were filmed in black and white because the studio couldn't afford color film. Not true at all. It was the director's choice to shoot in black and white. And you know what film noir is. You can't shoot film noir in color because black and white creates things. It creates the ambiance. You have the suggestiveness of the shadows because you let your mind, your imagination kicks in, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, and all you got to do, and this is why I'm so surprised the famous Edward Hopper painting Nighthawks is in color, because it has a black and white vibe about it. And that's why I love Turner Classic Movies and all those film noirs, because they're so mysterious. Those long shadows, you know, in the gun mall, and the detective with the gun on his desk and the bottle of whiskey and everything, and the flashing, the cheap neon, you know, hotel sign outside the window. I just love that because there's so much to the imagination.
Yes. And that's why every once in a while, and again, it depends, what I'm going to shoot for, what I want to try for, black and white film could set the tone, could set the image.
It didn't hurt Ansel Adams, did it?
No, oh heck, no. Oh, good
made
gosh,
he's made his whole career.
Like, yes, he's like the ultimate.
Sure, yeah. Well, you've got some pretty dazzling black and white stuff yourself on your Facebook page, including one at the Point of Rocks in the Dells, which looks like something out of Vasquez Rocks County Park north of L.A. It looks like another planet almost with those pointed rocks, like a science fiction setting from a movie. But, yeah, black and white can just be so dramatic. And I remember Roger Ebert saying that the reason black and white is so, in some cases, unsettling is because it's not realistic. It's a dreamlike state when you see in black and white, because color is literal. It's realistic. Black and white, you're seeing things through your own prism of your own fears, ambitions, anxieties, things like that. So you leave a lot to the imagination, don't you?
You do. Black and white is it's another great tool to get your message across, your art across, your point of view across.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, it's for me a way to go back to the roots of photography.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I don't go that far back into the roots. I mean, I don't have a large format camera yet.
Sure.
But I don't enlarge film yet. I haven't evolved to that point.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, there's that particular shot I was very, very pleased and proud of, because I had a wonderful camera, Minolta, beautiful old camera.
Mm-hmm.
35 millimeter film, black and white, and it's just the sound of the camera clicking, the advancing of the film.
Sure.
And then to take it home, and then to develop it, and then to see the results of what you develop.
Well, tell us how our listeners can find more of your photographic work.
I have, generally, I'm involved with Facebook quite a bit, either on the Prescott's Facebook page, Prescott Valley's Facebook page. Then I have my own, Charles Abels Photography.
And that's A-B-L-E-S.
Mm-hmm. And so I generally, whenever I create and get ready to post picture, I'll start out with my page and then work my way accordingly. Also, Prescott Photography is a great site on Facebook as well. These are different stages of photographers that like to share their work, and there are some phenomenal photographers on that page as well.
Mm-hmm. That is Chuck Abels. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for sharing your beautiful work on Facebook with us. Stay tuned, because I'll have Monday's guests and some final thoughts on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at KQNA.com.
It's me, Sandy, with YCCA. Plan to attend the City of Prescott Quarterly Contractors Outreach Meeting, April 10th, 11:30 to 1. Lunch will be served. Location, Yavapai College, Building 3, Room 119. Bring your questions, get the answers, and meet the awesome Community Development Leadership Team. Lots happening. RSVP to me, 778-0040. Don't be square, just be there.
When it comes to seafood, think small. Sally B's has upped the ante on their all-you-can-eat fish fry on Fridays with new oriental butterfly shrimp. That's right. Not only can you get their famous Icelandic cod for one low price, you can save a delicious shrimp like you've never had. Served with your choice of potatoes, veggies, soup or salad, and a dinner roll. The fish fry is every Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're in the Safeway Shopping Centre in Prescott Valley, Sally B's Cafe.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Hey, stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, and then join me back here Monday at 2 o'clock with my guest, Rachel Skavarik from the Prescott YMCA. She'll be here to talk about the Whiskey Row Marathon. Yep, it's that time of year again. Also, Bridget McLaughlin will be here. She'll be talking about the Prescott Wine Festival and the Arcosanti Wine Festival. Two wine festivals on the same day. I won't miss that one. And Yavapai College student Alex Daniels will be here on Monday to talk about Yavapalooza. Also, keep in mind we have Diamondbacks baseball, the home opener, tomorrow with the pregame at 3:30 and the first pitch against the Big Bad Red Sox coming away tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Join me for Q&A Monday at 2 when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Northern Arizona Vein Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, High Country Rec V Center, and David Snyder, CPA. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.